to the holy mass of the precious blood, I thought I would say something on why you are called handmaids of the precious blood. By now I've read, as far as it is physically possible, everything that Father Gerald either wrote or said. I suppose conservatively amounts to about 250,000 words. I found that he was very careful in assigning the name, which he did, to your community. And as a man who believed in the symbolic meaning of words, he intended your name to be very meaningful. There are two parts to your name. You are called handmaids, and specifically of the precious blood. Why handmaids? For two reasons. By the way, this is the way Father Gerald would not talk. And you know, Father Gerald was not the systematic theologian that this man pretends to be. What would be the two reasons, as I read Father Gerald, why you are called handmaid? First and mainly, because the incarnation began when a young woman named Mary called herself the handmaid of the Lord. Built into your spirituality, therefore, is and should be a very close imitation of Our Lady. Like her, you are to be what she called herself at the moment that man's salvation began. She called herself the Anshilah, one who helps us, servant man, handmaid. Above all, therefore, this is one reason, and I think it's the fourth time this month I've come to the subject. If there is one thing that your Father wanted you to practice, it's Marian humility. With all that that implies, because while commonly and popularly we associate humility with not lording it over others, not putting on superior airs, yet humility first means that we don't put on airs with God. Mary's most glorious title is Anshilah Domini, the handmaid of the Lord. Complete and total pliability in the hands of God complete and total resignation to the will of God. Ever ready to serve God. That's the first reason. You are handmade because, like Mary, you are to practice deep humility. But you are secondly handmaids of the precious blood. There should be a tone or color to your practice of humility. It is the humility that one practices who knows that she is serving a God who bled to death on the cross. It is then a resignation to God's will and a pliability in His hands that imitates not only or mainly Mary, but also and principally her Son. Whatever else the precious blood should mean for you, it should mean especially a life of humble self-sacrifice. When the Church approves new religious institutes, and when you came into existence, you were new. And by comparison with some of the ancient orders, the Benedictines, 1400 years. The Franciscans, 700 years. The Jesuits, 400, to be exact, and 40 years. You are a fledgling community. But when the Church approves the constitutions of a new institute, apart from other things, she looks to the members following and imitating Christ in a very special and distinctive way. Christ, who is after all God, has many attributes that are imitable. The Dominicans are to imitate Christ, the teacher. Franciscans, Christ, the poor man, the Jesuits, Christ, the obedient one, and the handmaids to imitate Christ, the suffering one. But this is no ordinary kind of suffering. Your life, from what I know of it, and I'm learning more every day that I'm here. Your life is to be a life of sacrifice. But every religious institute should have not only a distinctive spirituality in its unique imitation of Christ, and for you it is Christ the Redeemer. Christ who suffered. Christ who bled. And you are to somehow suffer with Him. But there is also a distinctive purpose to your lives of sacrifice. And that is that by your joining yourself with Christ on Calvary and resigning yourself to God's will at no matter what price to yourself. The purpose is not only the imitation of the Redeemer, it is also and very distinctively to cooperate with Him in the salvation and sanctification of His priests. Your spirituality then has two distinctive features. One, in imitating Christ the Redeemer, and the other, in cooperating with this Christ to save and sanctify His priests. It is here especially that from all I've been able to gather, and I've learned a lot this past month, and I hope, please God, that whatever I've discovered will be shared by thousands of others. All I know, and how well I know, is that no one under God more needs to have people live sacrificial lives for them, lives of prayer and self-immolation, than God's priest. Because, as Father Gerald couldn't have been plainer in insisting, whatever you do to sanctify the priests of God, you do to sanctify the church of God. The church needs nothing more today, and she needs a lot of things. She needs nothing more today, believe me, than holy priests. And while the main responsibility for priests and bishops not being as holy as they should is their own, we all share in that responsibility. Please God, you will live your life more faithfully than you would have had you not become handmaids of the precious blood. Because whatever you do, in humbly and sacrificially living your life for Christ's priest, you are doing for the whole church of God. Jesus, the great high priest, help your priests to be what they should be. Help us, handmaids of the precious blood, to live up to our vocation so that in some way larger than we realize, because we have lived like Mary, joining with Christ in His sufferings, she under the cross. Souls will be saved because priests have been sanctified because of us. And then the Father and the Son.